Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listeners. This is your host, Reverend Reuben Dockery. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight on Blog Talk Radio. Here, you can share your thoughts as well as become informed about very important social issues confronting society today. Please take the time to visit my website at bfcinstitute.com. That's bfcinstitute.com to learn more about our efforts to educate, inspire, and empower disadvantaged families across America to improve the quality of life. The best way to stay in the loop of future broadcasts, times and locations for our traveling educational lecture series, and innovative ideas is to become a BFC Institute seminar participant. You may do so by clicking the Join Our Group tab on the home page. I would be delighted to respond to your suggestions and engage you further in most transformative information. Again, thank you for joining us, and I look forward to hearing from you online.
Greetings, and welcome to another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. We're glad to have you join us on this first day of May 2018. My goodness, already 5 months ago. Want to first start off by thanking each of you for joining us either via Facebook, on our live feed, or on our podcast platform at blogtalkradio.com. We want to extend our appreciation to those of you that have communicated with us via dialogue, to our co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller, who's been wonderful, and who also sat in for me last week while we were out attending to other business. We are grateful for all of the callers that have called in and that continue to do so. We appreciate you, and we welcome you to continue to do that now and to launch your question, your comment, your conversation, and be a part of our live dialogue. You can do so by calling 657-383-0944. Again, that number live right here in the studio is 657-383-0944. And we'll be more than happy to hear your comments again and respond to your questions and those type of things. All right. Having said that, looks like we're having a little slow roll with our live feed here, but we're going to keep moving, and we'll have you join us. Pastor Ricky Waller, our co-host, is in with us, and I see we have another caller. 3072 is with us. We'll be right with you. We're going to get through our monologue here first, and then we'll come right back to you to get right into our show tonight. Again, I want to emphasize the fact that you can call us here live at 657-383-0944. We'll be happy to entertain your questions, comments, and your involvement with the show tonight live. This is Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. And again, we are grateful that you have joined us. With that, we're going to go ahead and begin with our monologue. And our topic tonight is very simply how to come back from a setback. And we're going to speak in detail with Pastor Waller about the New Way Initiative in Nashville, Tennessee. He's got some good stuff going. We've been highlighting the last few shows some positive things. We looked at Ferguson, Missouri. We talked about some of the things we've been doing in Columbus, Mississippi. And briefly, we hinted on some things we're working on in Chicago. But right here in our home city, Nashville, Tennessee, very positive thing. We're going to, Pastor Wallace is going to really share with us about that. We're talking again from the topic, how to come back from a setback. That's the topic tonight. And I want you to get right on in here. You understand what I'm saying? Jump right on in here and be with us as we move forward. Job 14, chapter verses 13 through 15 reads in the King James Version, "Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me sacred until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have a desire to the work of thine hands." Our first encounter with life involves the challenge of someone having to push hard to bring us into this world. After the birth challenge, many continue to struggle to stay alive and maintain a certain quality of life. An urban American experience, let's be very clear. There are certain socioeconomic conditions that shape our very lives and often leads to people being set back. The good news is that despite our setbacks, with faith and determination, there is hope for a comeback. Now let's look at what a setback is and really what we mean by a comeback. A setback is something that causes you to be flip side, unearthed, out of sorts with what's normal, keeps you from doing something, and can cause great inconvenience in your life. Okay? Setback may just knock you off your own time schedule, your goals, your plans that you set for yourself. And it could stop you from achieving something that is very, very drastic and important for you to get done. Setbacks are not good most of the time. But the good news is, with the right mindset, you can achieve a comeback. Comeback is a return that involves some type of improvements or forward progress. Even though you've had some sort of barriers that got the best of you, you were able to overcome them and get right back on your feet. Yes, I'm talking about a comeback. I want to use for a case study tonight the literary piece called The Prince. All right? And I hope this will kind of help you understand really the context for what we're talking about coming back. Born May 3rd, 1469, in Florence, Italy, fellow by the name of Niccolo Machiavelli was a diplomat for 14 years in Italy's Florentine Republic during the Medici family's exile. Now, the Medici family was a very, very powerful family and ruthless family, and they were run out of Florence, Italy, for a period of time. When the Medici family returned to power, however, in 1512, Machiavelli was one of the first people on their list to run out of there. Okay? He was briefly jailed. He then wrote this piece called The Prince. It was a handbook for politicians on the use of ruthless, self-serving, and cunning efforts or strategies, inspiring the term Machiavellian and establishing Machiavelli as the father of modern political theory. Interestingly enough, he died on June 21st, 1527, in Florence, Italy. Though it was initially a dark period in his career, Machiavelli's time away from politics, when he was in exile, gave him the opportunity to study Roman history and to write political treaties and pieces, and gave him the opportunity to come up with this notable piece known as The Prince. The main theme of this short work about monarchical rule and survival is man's capacity for determining his own destiny in the face of opposition of power and fate. Somebody may mean it for your bad, but if you have the self-determination, the grit within yourself, you can overcome it. Oftentimes, this overcoming is interpreted as related to this piece, a political philosophy that one may resort to any means in order to establish and to preserve total personal autonomy or authority. In other words, you prepare yourself to do for you what you want to do for yourself, and no one can take that away from you. That's a very powerful piece, because there are many people today who find themselves in a very precarious situation where they're not sure if they're in control of their own destinies. But what we see here is that this particular piece speaks to that. The work has been regarded, that is The Prince, as a handbook for people in positions trying to seek power to demonstrate. And many people believe that what they were trying to do is to convince the Medici family, that is Machiavelli, that he could be just as ruthless and to impress them. Okay? Some people believe that this character, this ruthless, cunning individual character, was based on the infamous Caesar Borgia from Florence. But other scholars say, no, it's just merely satire. It's nothing real. It's just some fictional piece or character that he made up. But now, Pope Clement VIII, he condemned the prince for its endorsement of rule by deceit and fear, he said. And particularly, one excerpt from the book reads, listen at this, you all. Since love and fear can hardly exist together, if we must choose between them, it is far safer to be feared than loved. Now, if you're an African-American male growing up in urban America and your parents are poor, and you go to a poorly performing public school, and circumstances there cause you to drop out or not to do well or get a high school diploma, you have no hope to go and find a meaningful job beyond what is considered to be minimum wage. And oftentimes, if you get caught up in the legal system, the criminal justice system, and get some paper on you, you find yourself yet again behind an eight ball. And you're saying to yourself, this government, this life, this system is not fair. And the only choice many young people turn to is the bullet over the ballot. They have no confidence in the political processes to elect individuals to represent your best interest and exact your will. So they say it's the ballot or the bullet, and they choose the bullet. Of course, you know what that end is, right? Bottom line is, these young people find themselves in the precarious position to where they ask the question, where is their hope for me and what can I do for myself? And they're in this position like my friend JB, and they say this. Dr. Reuben Dockery, and we're on live tonight talking from the topic, how to come back from a setback, the New Way Initiative. And let me welcome all of our callers in. We have our co-host, Pastor Ricky Waller, who's going to join us in this conversation. And we got 3072 on with us, as well as 8112. Welcome to Talk Straight. How are y'all doing this evening?
Thank you so much.
All right. But Pastor?
Hey, Pastor Doctor.
How you doing, sir?
I'm all right, man. Thank you. How about yourself?
Mighty fine. And I believe we have your good friend, 3072 here, a.k.a. Professor Miko, on with us.
Oh, my.
Hi.
Yeah, how you here?
Hey, how's everybody? Hey, Diane.
Hey, baby, I love you.
Love you, my love.
Thank you, ladies,
all right,
for being
all
on.
Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Listen, you guys heard my monologue. What say you? Somebody get back with me on that.
May I say something, please?
Absolutely.
I'm going to try to keep it brief. I want to thank Pastor Wallace, first of all, and all the other guys that was on my team last week when you wasn't available.
Okay.
We love you guys and appreciate you guys for you so much. I appreciate y'all for that so much. I'm sorry. And as well as Mr. Pastor Dockery.
Yes,
I
ma'am.
Did. But they took they stepped right on in, sir.
They stepped right on in.
And as you were referring to, as far as feeling as though, how do you make a comeback?
Mm-hmm.
I am one that can truly honestly God say, it ain't easy. Sometimes you come back and then you go backwards. Then you come back again and go backwards.
Wow.
But you also said, if you stay in touch and in tune with whom you are, sometimes things touch you so deep you don't know how to find who you are at that moment, at time.
Wow.
So, therefore, what do? I just say you take it one day at a time. You crawl before you walk, and as yourself have helped me do. I figure God put me on this radio station not just to hear y'all talk, but for a reason. So I thank you guys so much for that, and I'm humble for that.
We're grateful to have you as well. I'm sorry, Pastor, what were you
going to
say?
I said she's very welcome, and that was it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate you, Pastor Waller. Been wonderful since we've been on air for about, this is our second year now, isn't it, Pastor?
Yeah, yes it is.
Going into our second year. And we appreciate you. In fact, I'm glad we got you there. That was a good segue, 8112, because Pastor Waller tonight, we're spotlighting him. We were talking about some things going on in a few other cities and what have you, right here in Nashville, Tennessee, a.k.a. Cashville. Pastor Waller has, the Lord blessed him with a home, a little house where he's opening up, and I was able to sit in service with him not too long ago, and he brought a powerful word, ladies. And what he did to lay the framework for, he used to do it right on the street. Now, he had no problem with pitching tents and talking to them right down the street. Now, this brother has opened up this door and brought them under a covering. And he and I are going to be working together. We talked about our lecture series. He's going to do the preaching, and I'm going to do the teaching. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so I'm going to shut my big fat mouth and let him tell us a little bit about the New Way Ministry initiative that he is embarking on. He had a brother there, man. Brother had me standing up the whole time. I couldn't sit down, man. He was on fire. He was on fire. Pastor, I'm going to shut up and give you the floor, man. Talk to us about the New Way initiative there with New Way Ministries.
Thank you, Pastor Dockery. I'd like to first thank God for allowing me to endure the hardship and
to
continue to do it until he showed up and presented it to me. You know, he graced me with his favor, and he brought a coverage over the New Way Outreach Ministry, which has been doing great things since the year 2000 when the ministry was put into existence. And people often wondered and expected that I would someday get a building, because they was asking me, when are you going to get a building? Because they wanted to come, you know, unlike being out on the street up under the tent and things like that. So the purpose and the plan of the ministry is to restore hurting people, and that's why the ministry is named New Way Outreach, because it goes out into the community, which the location is like hurting people wherever they are, and encourage them. And so when we, as you said, spoke a couple of Sundays ago here, and you was here to witness, you know, how the ministry came out the gate, if you will, and it talked about in Isaiah 43, verse 18 and 19, where he says, remember not the old way, and things like that, and then came back in the next verse and was talking about, behold, I would do a new thing in you, and it would spring forth. And this is the new thing. He brought it forth, and so I came out with a topic and said it's time for a new thing. And that means that the old way is no longer effective. You know, what was done, how it had our minds and hearts darkened, that's no longer. It's time for us to acknowledge the power of what it would be like to be free from that. And so that's what the ministry is about. And I like what you said, Pastor Doctor, when you was talking about Job in the 14th chapter, around the 14th verse, when it says, if a man dies, shall he live again? All the days of my life, my appointed time, you know, I will wait till my change come. And waiting sometimes causes a person to think that maybe it's not going to come. But when I learn how to wait, I start to practice that because of how long I was captured, and the Lord waited on me. So, you know, again, you know, the beauty of just knowing that this ministry is here now, and the joy that it brings to know that I have an opportunity, and I even shared with you about the season. I've been looking and watching other churches and thinking that maybe that they would do what needs to be done on the outside. So I continue to watch, and I continue to wait. And then I noticed that God graced me again with the favor and reminded me that this was my season. It's time for me to have a chance to see what I can do through this ministry, reaching out into the community. So that's the purpose and the plan of it, is to watch God move on the people and to restore people back to right standing with him.
Right. Now, Pastor, 37, ask you sometime. Oh, good. I'm glad you. Go ahead, 37. I'm glad you came in. Go ahead. Did you have a question for him, a comment?
I had a comment. I mean, first for you both. I mean, and Reverend Dockery, you know how proud of you I am. But for Pastor Waller, man, I have gained, I mean, right, it's been about a year now, my how time passes. But I wanted to personally just congratulate you first And then secondly, tell you how proud I am of you for continuing to press forward, like you were saying. You know, sometimes people get caught up on looking at what other people are doing or other churches or maybe, I don't know, but staying steadfast in what you believe need to be done is, like, to me, commendable. Man, and I support that. I think that is awesome. I pray that God grants you everything that you need to keep this thing going. Both you and Reverend Dockery, I'm just happy for you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you so kindly.
I received that, and I know that's from the heart. I embrace that, and it's just wonderful to hear that from you. And my goodness, that's awesome. I mean, it was so much energy and power in that I had to brace myself for that. You know, and I'm touching. My goodness. I appreciate it. Yeah.
Well, now, 8112, Mika asked him a question some time ago about how do you, I'm trying to get it right, take a young man and essentially convince him to turn around. And this is actually the action behind Mika, what he was talking about. He understands that even though you're out there with him, and he's constantly out there with him, and I've been with him on many occasions, there comes a time where you have to pull them and isolate them from the hood, from the street. Start, you done caught the fish now. Watch this 8112. Now you got to gut them and get them ready for cook. I wish I had somebody to pray with me tonight. I didn't come to preach, Pastor.
Well, that's okay. You can jump.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, 8112.
I think everything you guys do, from what I've been listening to, and I know some of it become debative, I respect that as well. I like a good debate.
Sure, that's good. That's helpful. Yeah.
But my point is that what I've been listening to is for a reason, and I know this from within myself.
Okay.
And I don't keep calling back for anything, for no reason.
Excuse me. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Things that you guys are putting out here, I wish I could tune in a lot of more younger people to listen to this.
Yes.
Because it is, from what I've been listening to, on a positive, it even inspired and helped me. And I didn't even know it was going to come into my life. But sometimes God brings things and people in your life you don't even expect. That's how he works.
That's right.
And Diane, it's what it is for the young people. It's real talk. It's real talk. It's real talk.
Yes, ma'am. It would be very
It's not pulpit talk. It's not pulpit talk. It's not church talk.
It's
real talk.
It would be very, very encouraging for these guys to talk.
Yeah.
Some people that actually say, I do care.
Yep.
See this? I see we got 1098 on us. Wave your hand, 1098. Say hello to us there.
Hello.
But,
hello.
Yeah. How you doing?
All right.
How you doing? How you doing? I'm coming right back to you, 1098. One of the things I do want to say is we realize that you can't be everywhere at one time. But you got to be consistent where you are, and the nature of this talk show, this talk straight is to try to again open up the general dialogue around the country. And my prayer and hope is that we'll be able to share our model that we're using, starting right here in Nashville and other places, and it can be of help to somebody else. Now, of course, it takes money. So you hear me asking people to contribute to our nonprofit and things of that nature because it does take money to do those things. But we're not going to let the lack of money stop us. Have I got a witness, Brother Pastor?
Yeah, go ahead. You're right there. You're right
we're going to be steadfast and unmoved.
Yes,
the word said, if you be not weary in your well-doing, you shall. It doesn't say you might. You could. But it said you shall receive a reward. And I'm crazy enough to believe that. I want to hold up Pastor Wallace's hands in regards to what he's doing. And as he said, in his own struggle, I don't want to try to tell his testimony. I can't tell it like he can. But he had his setbacks. But guess what? He stayed in the game until he had his comeback. And that's what the devil don't want you to see. The devil don't want you to have no comeback. He wants you to get caught up in the setback and lose focus and sight on what you need to be doing.
That's right. That's right.
Let me just say this, and then I'm going to go to 1098. It looks like Facebook is having a problem with our live feed here, but we're not going to let that stop. But that's another little setback, huh? And I got a comeback for that. I got a comeback for that. I don't know what Mr. Zuckerberg is doing, but whatever's going on here, we're going to keep moving here. We've been used to doing our live stream, but we're going to keep it going. So, 1098, tell me about it, man. What's going on, big brother?
No, just listening. Listening.
All right, how's the family?
Maybe I'll comment. Pardon me, sir?
Okay. All right, how's the family?
Oh, good. Everything is well. Just listening, trying to get whatever I can get up out of this.
All right.
That's the bottom line on that. Come back. You know, you all, well, come back and sit back. You know what I mean? You know, I came back and haven't left yet. I haven't left yet. I was still in the house.
Right.
Still in the
house. Okay.
So, you know, right now, you know, there's no such thing as a setback with me. You know, I'm continuously moving ahead. Money or anything in that nature can't stop me, just as well as any of the listening audience. And, you know, like I stated, I just sit and I want to listen and get what I can get from it.
All right.
What the professor?
I'm not sure, but he's welcome to give us a call if anyone else is. 657-383-0944. The floor is open. We're talking about how to come back from a setback. The New Way Initiative right here in Nashville, Tennessee. Pastor Wall is going to come back with a little bit more on that. I'm asking a few more questions. We welcome everybody to join us with your question, comment. All we ask you to do is keep it relevant to our topic and be respectful. Sometimes our opinions are not exactly the same. That's okay. I'm not as good looking as some people like 8112, but that's okay. I mean, you know what I mean? I have learned to deal with myself. You understand what I'm saying? Having said that, 8112, I was out. You say you're working on it. I was this past Thursday night, I was not here because I was meeting with some bankers. I announced that I'm running for state senate. And I was sharing with them, callers, my plan to bring 250 new businesses to Nashville.
All right,
and to
now.
Fund it with a combination of state funding and private business investment. And so to make a long story short, the gentleman I was sitting there speaking to, he said to me, well, yeah, that sounds great, but, you know, we got to be careful about just giving out money to everybody. I said, well, I hear where you're going already. But I know, Pastor Waller, that oftentimes the dream that young people have for themselves are so distant from the resources and opportunities that there needs to be someone to bridge that gap. And I said to him, I know that you can't just give Lil Shawty a whole lot of money until first you fix Lil Shawty's mind. So we need to do what's called soft skill development. We got to get Lil Shawty past blowing money in the wind and investing money for something in the future. Now, that brings me back to you, Pastor Waller. Now, we hear people talk about programs all the time. And you know all a program is somebody's idea about what you should be doing and how you should be going, as opposed to establishing and empowering them to develop their own path and vision. Talk to me about the vision, Pastor, of the New Way Initiative. Where do you want to see these young cats empowered in the next 5 to 10 years? Where do you want to see them?
Well, I'd like to have them to recognize the power of positioning themselves to be taught. It has to be a teachable moment. And what happens with a teachable moment, it has an increase, an add to, if you will. Like when you add to your faith, you know, you hear something, you get it, you receive it, you embrace it, and you walk in it because of your desire. That's where it starts at. And once one become interested in hearing and how to hear, it's amazing that a person could hear, but it's about how you hear. Be mindful of how you hear. And that's what happened to me. That's why I was unable to do at such an early stage because of me being captured in my mind. And it took me for a ride, and I always spin mine at will, knowing that there was more to come. And, you know, of course, I had a stage nickname of assault, if you will. I would say that I was young nigga rich, you know.
Watch out.
At a young age. And, I mean, I'm just talking about what happened. That was the incarceration of my mind, you know, had me twisted like that. And so after being free, and I wanted to share this with you when you're talking about a comeback, you know what I mean, from having a setback. If you notice that, and I like to have the scripture to help me out, and I like 37:2, I should say this is nothing about church or anything like that. This is just real genuine, you know, talking straight, you know. And if we can just keep that in that order, I think that's what's going to cause young people to be willing to get nourished, if you will. And it says words like this. It says, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. You see, and 37, he said, no matter what they may have said and was going against him, I'm paraphrasing what you said, he kept on pushing. And that's what I did. I kept pushing. That's why I said I had to brace myself when she was sharing that, when she was, you know, uplifting me. And I want to thank her again because I went through that. And then the next verse says, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Could you imagine someone saying that there's no help for him in God? You know, and it's just like the action that was taken all around me as if I wasn't worthy to be assisted by God. And so I kept pushing, I kept on toiling, and I just kept on standing firm. Because I was brought up with a good coach when I played ball, and he coached us so well, even when it was tough, he still taught us to press on. And then one day, I said, and then one day, he said, but thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. Okay. See, that setback had me bowed down for a long time.
Okay.
But one day, the Lord came and lifted up my bow down head, man, and told me to follow him and to trust him and to lean on him and to depend on him. And that's what I did, man. And it took 18 years for this ministry to have a shelter around it, you know, a coverage. The ministry came in existence in 2000, and here it is 2018. So I had to push on for that many years. And it wasn't easy, but that's what you got to do with the young people. You have to meet them where they are. To let them know that I know it's not going to be easy, especially with the speed of the street life or the speed of the things that they have to see and hear, and they have speed to it. It's like being in the fast lane, if you will. And so I know how to be patient with them and let them know what's available. And once they come into the house, realize what's available, then you start teaching, you know.
Okay.
And that's what the ministry is about.
One thing, Pastor, that we discussed, and that is and one of the developmental tools to share what we're doing with other people, on the website we have a YouTube page, and we'll be videotaping some of those. Some people don't like to have the images there, so we'll get permission from the young men that we sit down with, and those that allow us to, we'll videotape some of those sessions. And we'll put that on the YouTube page so others can see it. They can actually see the work that's being done in action. That's what we strive to do when we go out of town to the other venues as well. So, but I did want to ask you this, Pastor. We've been talking about that little 6x6 box. You remember that?
Oh, yes, without a doubt.
The dark room, locked door. Just you and Lil Pookie in there all by yourself. 8112 want to know, what if Lil Pookie gets so scared that he starts swinging on you? Then what?
Okay. Yeah, that's I've had that experience since I've been here, here
okay.
at this location.
I thought
about what you said when you was talking about it back then. And I like to say this, Outkast, when that took place, man, it was a tough situation, but I met it right where it was. And as I saw the person start to elevate in his anger,
mm-hmm.
I had to position myself and recognize what will I do when it's my turn to say something.
Right.
And that time came, and the first thing I asked him is that, because the people that was with him had just came up to him and was getting ready to give him a loaded gun. As if it's taking too long, man, go on and do your thing. But they didn't
okay.
know who
right.
I was. These
right.
were young
right.
brothers who just come up out of the street, and that's just what they do. But as I stood there and I shared something with him, and I got down on his level to bring him up to mine, and I
right.
let him know that what you were saying that somebody had done to you, I said, why would you want to charge innocent people for something they have nothing to do with?
Interesting.
And that's how I met him. And so what he did, he came down, and he humbled himself. And when the guy tried to bring him the gun, he brushed him off. He brushed
okay.
him off as he was trying to hand it to him. He brushed him off like, I don't want the gun, without saying it. And
wow.
he seen the gun, he's trying to hand it to him, and he didn't. It's like a quarterback trying to hand a person the ball, and he don't want it. That's
right,
the way
right.
the guy was talking, and the guy didn't understand that. So I like to let you know I appreciate that, because I was able to do what I could to protect the person standing beside me and myself, because I was
yes.
basically willing to stand in the gap, or you may want to call it something else, intercede for the person that was there that was innocent, such as myself and her. And the guy ended up humbling himself. But it wasn't easy, I tell you, because
sure.
he was already at that point saying, well, if I walk away, this is what he said, if I walk away, it's out of my hand. In other words, as soon as he walk away, it's going to be a gunfight.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
And it didn't happen. So that was an experience I had, man. And
Pastor, I appreciate that, because oftentimes the fear factor for others in terms of coming out there and doing what you do is that they lack the skill set to de-escalate situations like that. And that's essentially what you were doing, is remaining calm so that you can de-escalate or bring his temperature or temperament down to where he can be reasonable and rational. And a lot of times,
right.
the fight and flight involves your adrenaline raising and your blood rising, and you then are at a point where oftentimes you're irrational. So if you can get people to calm down and to breathe and to think straight, you can get a whole lot more out of them. You understand what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, and what happened
and,
after that, two days later, I had a chance to sit down and talk with him. He met me. 2 days later, and I had a chance to talk with him to let him know who I really am and who I was,
right.
And so he had went and checked up on me, found out who I was, in other words, who I was back then, and, he came back and he told me, he said, I did my research on you, and, so,
say what?
Yeah, that's what he came to me, you know what I mean? So that was good. I like how he said that. And, it was, as I said, it was all humble, but it was just a thought of, at that moment, it could have been, a terrible thing, man. And as innocent as those kids are, I told him, I said, I wouldn't even charge you with that, man, had you have done that.
Right.
That's just the way,
Outkast,
just the way it came out.
If you don't mind, Pastor Outkast, this. A lot of times when guys get locked up and they leave the streets and they come back to the block, it's a new mentality with these younger cats, this younger generation. And what we were accustomed to in our time, it's the same
right.
thing, but it just got a different spin on it. Does that make sense, Al?
Exactly.
And we have to realize that what we did 30-some years ago is not a reality exactly for these guys. So you got to take the time to hear them and understand where they're coming from. And that's what I appreciate about the house that you have here, Pastor, the instructional piece there, where you bring them in a controlled and therapeutic session. And see, it's important that you don't have a bunch of garbage or individuals that's about garbage in there as well, because they can mess up a good thing. And a lot of times, these old cats, 30-72, trying to impress these little young girls, and they come with a whole lot of foolishness and get the young guys caught up in it too.
That's right.
Yeah,
you know, but the thing is, you know, me, I did the biggest of what I wanted to do while I was in prison, talking about changing mindsets and things of that nature. You know, I don't run across too many young guys out here because, you know, I mean, I'm out, but I'm doing other things, you know, and some of them I just, you know, pass them by, you know, like a ship in the night. But the ones that I do come in contact with, whether it be at work, whatever, you know, I try to steer them in a different direction, you know, give them a different outlook on life. Just because they're out here, you know, they're doing things, but they haven't got caught, you know.
Yeah.
And I try to bring them to a point to where else that, you know, just change their lifestyle, you know, find you something different to do.
That's right.
But, you know, in that 6x6, you know, we go in that 6x6, you know, because I mean, I have slept with robbers, stealers, keys, thieves, rapists. I slept in the room with every type of individual, you know, that's in prison doing wrong. And I'm not, you know, I fear none, you know. It's different in prison, you know. I mean, you know, you wildcat out here on the streets. But once you get behind that steel, once you get back behind them doors, once you get in that environment, I've seen a whole lot of men change. I've seen stone killers on the street, in the penitentiary, and homosexuals.
Yeah.
You know, you know, and I always say this: power, coward is running packs. You know, if I can't do something myself, I feel it don't need to be done. Because I look at it like this in here. If I'm going to do something, if I'm going to hurt someone, I don't need two or three people with me because that's only going to enhance my time. This is why they got this gang activity thing. They got two, three, or four in the crowd, do something. Oh, you know, you're gone for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And I mean, it really makes no sense. You know? You know, you got your gun out here. You know what I'm saying? Now, what you going to do when you get in that penitentiary? You know, you're going to have another look. Sometimes you get the opportunity to load your hands, you know what I'm saying? But as well as your hands are loaded, the next person may hand it loaded. So he got what you got. What you going to do now? You know?
Right.
You're not going to turn
what the young guy say?
Because it's on.
Right, right.
Pardon me?
What the young guy say?
You know,
if you buck, we nut.
Right. You know, knuckle
but
up.
You know
what I'm saying? Don't load your hands up.
Well,
you know what? Another thing that I had liked about, I've been in, you know, different prisons and things of that nature, you know. I was in a one prison, and, you know, if you, they were knuckling up. I mean, the officer gone, they would close the door, you know, and one person be watching the door. Y'all get on down there, you know, y'all knuckle up. You know, when the fight got too, you know, too harsh or whatever, they break it up. Clean the blood up and say, hey, y'all done? Yeah, move on then. You know, but out here, it's all about a gun.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wanted to ask you a question. Let me go to 3072 and then 8112. They were trying to say something. Go ahead, 3072.
Well, I wasn't going to ask the question. I was just in agreement with, what was it, 1098?
Yes.
Man, and like he was talking about, that 6x6, and transition is a mother. That stops a lot of people dead in their tracks. They want to change.
Yeah.
They want to do
right.
different. They want
right.
to explore new avenues. But that transition is the problem. Right. How do I convert this? How do I convert this 60,000 I just got off this hit to some positive and make it last enough to where it's going to take me on to the positive road that I'm trying to go on.
Exactly.
They can't come up with a plan. They can't come up with a scheme. So, man, I'm back stuck in the game again, And right, as far as the knuckling up go, right. What do I have other than the rest of the guys out there? And he's right. You a fool though, because they gonna get you more time. This becomes less personal, meaning, mm-hmm. and anybody took an ethics class, it's not just about what you do, it's about the reasons that you're doing it. So if you're doing it not just for survival, but to be a part of a gang, an organization, or some other thing, then, yeah, that becomes a crime, really. They can charge you less for you just trying to, hey, I was dumb and I was desperate. I was trying to feed my family. I was trying to send my daughter to college. No, you're supporting some other negative thing. I mean, right, it's tough. Transition is a mother. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay, let me know if you don't mind. If you don't mind, Reverend Docker, you know, I would like to state this also. You know, I was in West Tennessee High Security Facility back in 1990 when it was fresh. They had just opened it up, and you know, it was a lot of guys in there from Memphis. You know, which they had their cliques. You know, they had their gangs and things and that nature. And it was just one guy. You know, young guy named Dum Dum. You know, he was up out of Memphis, plus the dudes, you know, the gang that he was in, they were out of Memphis, too. I just tell Dum Dum all the time, you know, because it was Dum Dum first time in there. When you look at him, you see why they call him Dum Dum. I used to tell Dum Dum all the time. I said, look, Dum Dum, you know, let me tell you something. See, because he had a bad habit of calling men bitches and you know, B's and W's. I said, look, two of them, you have some B's and you have some W's in here, man, but you know, you need to stop that. You know, the man only had about, 30 days before he went home. You know, he never listened to me. He never listened to me. You know, he would come to run around that little click thing. Guess what? When the deal came down, now, like I say, your hands loaded, someone else's hands is loaded. You know, they're not playing. Look, when it went down, Dum Dum was the first one that got stuck. Guess what? Dum Dum didn't get up. Dum Dum did. It was about 10 of them fighting, you know.
Okay.
And I was outside during that period of time. So, you know, like when they were bringing him outside, the guy that was with Dum Dum came out crying, he did. No, man, you know, y'all running around here with that foolishness. You know?
Yeah.
And I told Dum Dum over and over and over and over to stop it. He wouldn't stop it, just like these young guys out here now. They know right from wrong. But, you know, when they got, they feel about 3, 4, 5, or 5 more individuals, and you can't get it out of a lot of them. And this is what happened. A lot of them end up dead. A lot of them end up going to prison for the rest of their life, 15, 16 years old. Now, hold, let me be quiet.
Let me go to 8112. She's been very patient and waiting on us. Go ahead, 8112.
Oh, I was fine. I'm just getting educated on certain things. I'm just really pretty much listening. I'm respecting everything everyone is saying.
Okay.
However, it is what it is. This war, as we used to know it, as we, myself is, and my parents brought me up to know, has changed tremendously.
Mm-hmm.
Tremendously. And as he called the guy Dum Dum, and he was dumb because he was ignorant toward the fact that he didn't know any better. And he didn't call him Dum Dum because he was a dummy. He was trying to educate him on something. You won't stay alive in here. You got to survive.
Yeah.
So to survive, you got to do what it takes to get along.
Mm-hmm.
And he did not listen. As he's correct, it's so many of these young folks. And I guess I got so emotional for the last month or so about what I was telling Pastor Wallace and Pastor, as I was saying. But I'm coming back. It's about to come back. Now I'm coming back.
All right. Come on.
I got the message, and God gave me the message. I had to fall on my knees, though. Sometimes you got to fall on your knees, and that's what you need. That's what a lot of these kids don't know. You got to ask them.
Yes.
Watch out.
And tell them you
I
need
him. So you're trying to
preach
in on me.
And that's what I had to once again, as I have many times before, and I'll do it again today if necessary. So,
now, let me hold you right there, 8112, because once you share with us that in your city there in Peoria, Illinois,
yes,
you
sir.
See a lot of this same type of deal where young people are despondent and they
yep.
just throw their hands up in a position of surrender as if there's no
yes.
hope for them.
Yeah.
And the sad thing is, 8112, that's not just in Peoria. That's all
mm-hmm.
over. And that's why we focus on urban
mm-hmm.
America, because there are certain,
mm-hmm.
certain triggers or economic conditions that
mm-hmm.
cause pressure. Let me give you an example right quick.
But, Pastor, I respect that and I understand that. The only reason why I speak about Peoria because this is where I live.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
As I
yes.
said once again, and I show no shame to who I am because I am who
right.
I am. That's all I can be.
Right.
I came from the south end to west Peoria, which is supposed to be quote unquote, but I get treated like I'm just another nigger sometimes.
Okay.
Ooh.
Okay.
Excuse
okay.
my French. And I ain't
well,
living
no,
in
that's,
no
that's,
rich neighborhood.
Just talk straight. Talk straight to me now. Don't talk crooked. Talk straight to
me. I don't talk crooked. I'm not living in a rich neighborhood. I'm living in a middle-class area.
All right. All right.
But I'm still that middle-aged black woman play her music, and I drink my beer, and I do what I do. Because you
okay.
won't change me. And you can't lock me up for doing me.
Okay.
I don't
well, it's better at home in the house anyway.
I don't believe people should
do.
Be locked up for being who they are.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now,
I can be
hold right there.
Respectable
hey.
Of my neighbors, which I am.
8112.
Yep.
Stop right
yep.
there. I heard you say, correct me if I'm wrong, you don't believe people should be locked up for being who they are. Did I hear that correctly?
Okay. Let me put some quotations.
Well, no,
on
hold
it.
On. No.
If you are a bad person, then bad people sometimes turn into good people. And sometimes
okay,
we see bad people that are not bad people, and we misjudge
well,
them is what I'm trying
can
to
Can I chime in?
Hold on
can
one
I
second. Hold
in.
Your thought, 31. Hold on, 37.
Mm-hmm.
Hold your thought. Don't lose your thought. Okay. But now, even though I am who I am, if I'm destructive to myself and others,
yeah,
not necessarily yeah. judgment, don't I need to be corrected, 8112? I'm coming to you, 3072. Don't I need
okay.
to be corrected, 8112?
Yes, sir, but I said you be mindful of your neighbors.
Okay.
And you be
okay.
mindful not only your neighbors, of all people.
Right,
of any
right.
nationality.
Yes,
and
ma'am.
And consider
yes,
it, and that's who I am.
Okay,
so you
okay.
got one on the block. Acting crazy because you are who you are and nobody else is whining and complaining. Should I change for that person or should I not?
Okay.
I ain't gonna be able
to. All right. All right. Let me, go, let me hear 3072. What you say about that 3072?
Well, and she just brought up something that I meant to bring up when I was responding to 1098. About
yeah.
like he was saying, he's done rubbed elbows with killers, the worst of the worst. Here's what
mm-hmm.
I learned, and here's what I know. Jeffrey Dahmer has a spirit, has a soul, has a conscience. I know people think he don't have a conscience. Yes, he do. Yes,
thank
he
you.
Do. You just
yes,
have
yes.
to find it. They're human beings that don't know, maybe, that they're human beings, or they don't know how to tap into their humanism, their humanity even.
Okay.
They have to be taught. They have to be restructured. They have to be re-socialized. They have to be everything. And as far as your question to her, yes, it's very damn destructive, and I take personal offense to anybody. Yes, please be yourself, but go lock your damn self, excuse my language, up in a bathroom. If you
that's
don't
right.
hurt me or the next person, please do.
Yeah. Okay.
Please
that's
do. Go on in the woods and do whatever you need to do to
okay.
yourself. The rest of
okay.
the society safe.
You're right.
Wow.
Pastor Wallace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pastor
yeah,
Wallace.
Man.
Help me,
yes,
man.
Sir.
Come on now. Get me out this box, man.
No, you ain't no.
What say you to that?
No.
He just dropped the bomb.
We just had. We just had a loss of 4 lives in Nashville, and Pastor Docker and Pastor Waller, I'm sure y'all know about the Waffle House killing.
Yeah.
I had a friend who lost a family member. You know, No, we cannot. You cannot. I'm sorry. If that's who you are, go cage yourself, please. Please, be whoever you want to be.
I agree.
But let everybody else be safe.
That's right.
Please.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Truly, it is amazing. And she's right there where she needs to be with that. And I can understand. But here's what's going on with that particular issue. When one is like that, and you have people that does have a soul, as you said, but sometimes they're demon-possessed. And when a person is possessed.
Agreed.
And a person can do a lot of harm to oneself. And that is a story, that story about the person who was demon-possessed. He was crying out day and night, cutting on himself. But he was doing harm to himself. And people were concerned about him, but they couldn't tame him. But one day, he had an encounter with the Waymaker and ended up, to make a long story short, he got with the Lord, and the Lord removed those demons, and he became a messenger.
Well, praise God.
Right, you know, and then people was afraid of him. They was more afraid of him when he became a messenger for the Lord than he was when he was cutting on himself. They was on
now,
his
now, let me just, can I yeah. just say this, and this is on a spiritual level here. So and as far as that goes, and I'm in total agreement with you, but some things are out of our hands. And some things are out of our control. And when they are, then we need to not turn a deaf ear or a blind eye. We need to take action. And hey, I can't help. Nobody else seems to be able to help. This person should be reported for the safety of everyone else and humanity.
That's right. And that's what happened. You're right. And that's the thing about it. When those people are possessed like that, it would be nice if they went on and put themselves in a position where they won't do any harm to others. Because being possessed has got to be a powerful thing for one to not have any control over it. And then somebody's aware of it and don't do anything about it. I don't know.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Mental illness is a horrible thing.
It is.
And
it's real.
And it's very real. So
Sometimes it's not mental illness, it's mental community illness.
Let her finish her thought. Go ahead, 8112.
I'm sorry.
Mental illness is a horrible thing because it comes in different shape, form, and factors. I'm afraid of the highway because all the bad experiences I've had on, does that make me crazy or...
No.
It does not because sometimes things occur in people's lives and they don't know how to handle it, especially if they don't know how to reach out to the good Lord. And a lot of times, it's crazy. It's crazy because in your mind, it is so for real, but in someone else's mind, they say, you get past that. And they don't understand a lot of people can't get past certain things. I'm blessed. I thank God for you. Blessed. Everybody is not.
That's true.
Well, I was going to say, but you know, and your family know that, hey, my family member is scared of the highway, and you know yourself, so you're not going to go jump on the highway knowing you can't drive or whatever the case is and go kill five people.
But
your family knows that, hey, she don't do that, so we're going to make sure we're available if she needs to take the highway to get somewhere. That's what I'm talking about, being held accountable within our communities. When you know there's a problem, then we need to stand up and speak up.
To go now. I ain't going to lie. I might choke their neck. I ain't trying to kill nobody. Lord, no.
Yeah.
8112, don't you hurt nobody now.
This is what Reverend Docker would be talking about when he's talking about the neighborhood. You know, people in a neighborhood, well, community or whatever, they know where the problems lie. So take care of those problems, you know.
Yes.
If you in a neighborhood doing damage, you know, it's best that you someone
but
tried to get you removed.
But they weren't doing no damage in that neighborhood.
That's
they were
right.
going somewhere else doing the damage.
Well,
talking?
I mean,
well,
even when it comes to mental illness, you know, I mean, 3172 spoke of an incident that happened here in Nashville. You know what I'm saying? They don't have been taken care of a long time ago.
Yeah.
And he should have been given the firearms back.
And
you
Illinois.
From my point of view, his father needs to be held accountable.
I'm sorry,
yeah.
But how would you know this just looking at a person walking down the street? They may seem as sane as you. And then they walk down the street, they whip out a gun, shotgun, or a rifle, or something, kill 20 doggone people. Who would know that if we knew these things, maybe like that little young man. That little young black man, he stepped in charge, and I appreciated him for that. He cried his own, so he still raised the money because he was so devastated what happened.
Let me say this.
If
you don't mind, let me say this right quickly. I love what y'all are saying, but I wanted to respond to a point that 8112 made. She said, how do you know? And I have to agree with 1098. Now, the truth is, 8112, there are a lot of warning signs that particularly among African Americans, we just say that's how we do. We know it's not right.
Yeah.
We know it's detrimental, it's harmful, but we overlook it until it gets so far out of control.
Yeah,
that
it and
just
it's on the news.
And implodes.
It's on the news.
And I suspect the same thing with other ethnicities. But what I'm saying is, this is what 3072's greater point is. We have to take some accountability as a community.
Yes.
As a neighborhood. And to set the tone for what is normal, what is appropriate for our children as they grow up. So when they become adults, you understand what I'm saying? Everybody understand what's socially acceptable and expected. But today you got a situation where everybody doing what they want to and giving in their impulses. And there's no control.
Okay,
absolutely
but I don't say that's socially acceptable. To me, it's not. I agree.
No,
and can
I'm
I say something? Can I say something?
Go ahead.
I'm going to give a real quick synopsis of something. So my son and his wife just moved in a really nice new community. There's kids that come to everybody's house on this block to play, which is great. They happen to be African American. The children look unkept. They're out at all times. They're without chaperone or supervision. And I, as another African American, I'm concerned. I'm concerned. My grandkids do not come outside without an adult present or us knowing what's going on or who. So my point is that is something that is not just to be talked about. Here's what I'm going to do tomorrow. I'm going to go and I'm going to knock on the door and I'm going to introduce myself and try to find out if there's parents or who they are.
But
why are your children out at all times? They're hungry. They're begging. You don't even know what they are. Somebody could be molesting them. Children are getting snatched and everything else. And you don't have a clue. But as soon as something happens, we the first one on the news crying and yelling and hollering and screaming.
But you know what? I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Now, something should be said about that. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to find out what's going on.
That's parents' job to do, not yours.
It is mine because I'm concerned for those children. And secondly, again, for me, we have a lot of white doctors.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Hold on, 3072. I feel your passion. Here's the thing. I think 8112's point is well taken, that there is a limit to how much you can do, right? But listen to me for a second. It's important that you first establish a conversation or communication and report with those parents of those children before you can start really doing anything to the children. Does that make
sense? I'm not doing nothing. Yes, it does, and I'm not trying to do anything to those poor kids.
Hold on, listen to what I'm saying. Hold one second. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm not suggesting that you have any nefarious intent, 3072. Your intents are good. However, your good could be evil spoken of if not done appropriately. That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
And the first thing you have to do, first thing you have to do is to have an adult conversation with the parents of the children and then offer your ideas or support on how to address the jeopardy that their children are in. Because there's a reason the children are out doing what they're doing, and it's the parents.
Yeah, and they said that their parents tell them they have to go outside.
Okay, well, and we don't know all the details there. So
And that's why, since they've been here numerous times and they've been fed here, I am going to go and extend the conversation and see exactly what's going on.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right.
Let me go to
1098.
Go ahead, 1098.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, some conversation should be held, as you're saying, Reverend Docker. If need be, they got a DHS number. Call them. Send them down.
There you go.
Just take care of. You don't put yourself in a position to where
that's
that you
right.
create enemies and things of that nature. You know, there are ways to deal with that situation. But
absolutely.
I appreciate your concern.
Yeah, but and I only brought this up because the other neighbors are talking about it, is what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Nobody will go over there. Right.
Exactly.
So why are we talking about this? And nobody's going to find out what the real deal is. I'm going to do that. I want to know. I'm curious.
You introduce yourself, but at the end of the day, if everybody's talking again, get on the phone, call DHS, and they'll go investigate. You know, there you go to the school where the children are, if they go to school.
Right.
Sorry.
That's
right.
True. I think if we can summarize what we say in 3072, it's for you not to not be concerned, but to be cautious about how you go about expressing your concern. I like what Outcast is saying. Ultimately, that's what the Department of Health and Children's Services are for.
I agree with that, but too, like Diane was saying too. Okay, so I don't know. It could be maybe the mother's a nurse. I think one of the ladies, the neighbors, was saying that the father is in the military and he's not home often, you know, which leaves the mom. I don't know if it's – I don't know. Right. It could be anything. So, I'm not going to call. I'm going to go and have a conversation first.
I understand that. That's
what I want to do.
But listen to what we're saying.
It's not your
even
place, baby girl. It's their parents' place.
Hold on one second. Even after you do that, Mika, you can't make whoever the custodial parent or caregiver is, can't make them do what's appropriate by their children.
I agree.
So at some point, you have to detach yourself and allow someone who has the authority to do that. That's all we're saying. I think we all saying the same thing. And I believe you understand where we're trying to go.
Mm-hmm.
8112, and then I got to bring Pastor Waller back in because we got 16 minutes. Look how fast the time goes. What are you doing with time, Pastor Waller? Goodness gracious.
Sometimes we don't reach out to one another. So that's fine. I'm going to shut up.
Go ahead, 8112. Go ahead, 8112.
I'm going to let Pastor Waller talk in about 1 minute. I think, as Nika, I'm speaking to her directly, that it's her place to do that. I think it is your grandkids' parents to do that, and I'm being 100% honest with you. I think discuss it with their parents should discuss it with the neighbors, as you should stand back, hard as it may be, baby, because these are our grandbabies. We love them, but sometimes we got to take a back seat, and I'm done with that.
Okay. All right. Pastor Waller, great conversation, guys.
Yes.
We're talking, this is Talk Straight, if you're just tuning in, and we're talking from the topic, how to come back from a setback. And we were really focusing on the New Way Initiative in Nashville, Tennessee. Pastor Ricky Waller is the founder of New Way Ministries and Outreach here based in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, there are a couple of questions I want to ask him. Before I go to you, Pastor, let me apologize to our Facebook live stream followers. I don't know what the issue was, but we were having a hard time before about 30 minutes ago before the thing opened up, and so we finally got back on. So we apologize if you missed a portion of the show. But you can always go back and go to blogtalkradio.com/ BFC Institute, and you can catch the whole show in audio and archive it there. Or go to my website, www.bfcinstitute.com, and you can go back and click to and listen to all of our former podcasts. So having said that, Pastor Waller, you there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay, listen, do this for me. Tell me dates and times and locations where if someone want to come sit in with us, i.e. this Sunday, they can come and do that.
Yeah, okay. I would like to encourage anyone to come to 4010 Indiana Avenue in West Nashville. The area code, if you want to call me, 615-491-5489. And the zip code to this area is 37209.
Okay.
3 o'clock p.m., that's what time the service began. I'm not trying to lure anybody from the early morning service, so I have a slot now that do the morning, later on maybe, but right now it's 3 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. If anybody's out to come, we are sure welcome you to come and enjoy and lift up the name of the Almighty God, and you know, that's what I would suggest.
Here's
what happens to be you. You know, he said, whosoever will, let him come. And what I like to say also, I was just thinking about, you know, the kids. And when I think about the kids, I think about them in such a way that when I see something take place, it caused me to move in a certain way. And this happened at a gas station. It was a young brother that pulled up in a drop-top BMW. And he had his little kid in the car with him. And he went in the store. He was at the gas pump. He left the kid there. And it dawned on me. I mean, this guy, you know, he's already in a drop-top BMW. And he looked like he's loaded with cash. And so here I am getting ready to go say something to him. And I did. And you know what he did? He thanked me.
Yeah, okay.
I didn't say, man, can I say something to you? I said, man, look, I said, brother, I seen that baby in the car, man. That's all I could think about was, man, somebody snatching that baby and going on because you just went into the store. And later on, as I said, you know, he became a great supporter of mine as well. You know, he ended up purchasing a book and thing. And he, I mean, just it was just so much good energy in it. It reminded me sometimes you got to make that move and it's an urgency on how to protect our babies because at any point, you know, that could take place and somebody run off with the kids if they see them out there playing by themselves and things like that. So, you know, how many of you know when everybody's on the same accord in the neighborhood, you should be able to discipline a child and the parents should be all right with it, even though it may not work like that today, but that's just, I think, a suggestion that sometimes you need to make that move. Yeah, make that move and then, you know, you deal with the issues of whether they like it or not after that. At least you have brought it to their attention. And I can hear the heartfelt concern, you know what I mean? But that brother could have went off on me. But
yeah, he could have.
You know,
he could have,
but he stayed humble and I like that. So but again, about this location, man, just have anybody to come if they will, and we would love to see them come over here and as I said, lift up the name of the Lord, man, with us. We'll be glad to have them. Remember, 4010 Indiana Avenue.
4010 Indiana Avenue.
Yes.
Well, I hate that I done moved away. I hate that I'm not there no more, y'all.
Yes, God.
Well,
I had to do a drop down one day.
Just send your prayers in the air. I want to emphasize the wisdom of 8112, and I know she's speaking from the experience of a mother and a grandmother, and that is the fact that the day will come, I'm prayerful, that we will have unity to where you can easily have those conversations. But I like her approach. She said allow the homeowner, your children, parents, to approach their neighbors directly. So so it won't be said that this lady is coming over here. She don't live here, but she's instigating in our business over here. At the end of the day, it's important, though, that you work to get that type of harmony, camaraderie with your neighbors so that you can, and that's what's missing in urban America. And that's one of the points that I've been trying to drive. We've got to get to that point where it's not just one or two people trying to do right, but everybody knows that right is good and profitable for our group. So,
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. She know I love her for that. But, I'm concerned.
Right. We hear your passion. Look, one day is 8112 fired up, and then another day is you. Boy, both of y'all, we got to keep talking. Y'all paying down, my goodness.
That's that blood, man. That's that blood.
I like that.
Send him on down here. Doctor, send him down here, man.
How you make a comeback? I'm trying to come back.
Watch out, man.
All right.
Praise God. We've been talking, listening audience, we got about 9 minutes about how to make this comeback. And I just want to reemphasize a theme that we've been carrying here. And that is that despite whatever the terrible things are you go through, and it's natural for sometimes you to just say, why am I trying? That's normal. But know that as long as you stay in the race, you have a potential to win it. I think about story of Porcel and the hare. The rabbit was the hare and the torso was the turtle. Rabbit told the turtle, ain't no way in the world you ever beat me in a race. And the turtle just kept going. Right? And the rabbit got so fast and so far ahead of the turtle that he said, shoot, man, he ain't gonna never catch up. And so he sat down by the side of the road. His muscles were so tired that he sat down long enough that he fell asleep. And the next thing he woke up, the torso done walked past him and all the way across the finish line. But he woke up and he realized, doggone it, I cheated myself out of the race.
My goodness.
Help us, holy. I'm talking about it was a setback, but it was a setback for a comeback.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
right,
man.
Kevin, I don't want to
cheat himself.
I'm trying to come
back. Come on back. Come on back. No matter what the devil meant for you, for your bad.
I want
that's right.
for you to move ahead. It's in my heart of hearts.
All right. Praise God.
Let
me get a comment from everybody before we turn the phone to Pastor Waller. Let's start with you,
1098. I enjoy everybody, you know, and I accept everybody's, you know, comments, things of that nature. But the thing is this, at the end of the day, these young men, now 37-2, they don't make men like they used to. We are old.
I know, man. I know, right?
Reverend Waller and Reverend Doctor is coming up. Hey. We didn't mind knuckling up. And, hey, next day we're friends or whatever, you know.
That's right.
I know.
And what's going on now is they're getting themselves life sentences in the penitentiary when all they had to do was knuckle up or leave it alone.
Yeah.
That's right.
Live to see
another day. That's right.
Yeah.
Live to see another day out there.
Yeah, you
spend
time. Hey, outcast, you run your mouth. You may get the tail whooped, but at least they'll laugh at you tomorrow.
And if you stood up and fought back, it's nine times out of ten, the individual didn't mess with you anymore.
$37,000
I didn't do a lot with $60,000.
Man, what you said?
I'm old.
I could do twenty.
1182, give me a final thought before we get out of here. We got a few more minutes. 8112, I'm sorry.
I ain't say nothing, but I can do a lot with two times.
But we ain't got no money for y'all tonight now.
Yeah, man.
All right, good part ain't hurting like that. I am, but not for y'all.
Okay, all right.
That's all right.
All right. Well, 37-2, right quickly, give us a final thought before we turn it over to Pastor Waller.
I enjoyed the show tonight thoroughly. Everybody's input and comments, and I want y'all to know if I'm not present, it's because I've been working like a Hebrew slave. But I'm glad I was able to make the show tonight.
Well, thank
Praise
you for joining.
God.
And I thank you, love. I'll talk to you when you get time to come.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. All right.
Yes,
well, praise God. Pastor Walker,
yes,
you got the floor, sir.
Yeah, again, I just appreciate everyone and the uplifting words of encouragement through the process. And I like to always remind those who don't know how good it is to trust in the Lord. To just get started. I mean, it's amazing what can happen through the process. It may take some time. He may not come when you want him to, but he's always on time. And that's why I like the scripture where it says, many there be which say, of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Well, I stop by to tell you that that's no longer that way. It is some help in God. No matter how much trouble you have been in, trouble don't last always. Once you start trusting in him, he'll help you help yourself. So just be encouraged. All of you. And thanks again, Pastor Dockery, for bringing this topic up tonight. You know, the setback ended up being, oh man, I tell you, when you look back at that and think about, you know, how long I had to wait concerning this setback, it became a stepping stone, man, you know what I mean? So, again, thank you, brother.
Well, it prepared you for a day such as this. At least your testimony is real. It ain't nothing you heard or you got from somebody you bought offline. This is your story, this is your experience. We praise God.
Yeah, man.
Okay.
Praise God.
Oh, wow,
yes,
man.
Sir.
Guys, I know you want to leave me, Outcast, but I refuse to let you go. But we're going to have to turn you loose.
My goodness.
Let's turn you loose because the clock is running down. Listen, we got this.
Why you ain't tell me to hold your hand?
What? Hold my hand, Outcast. Hold my hand.
That's all right.
You better
listen to another. I'm going to put that out there. That's going to become a word to say, hold my hand.
Yeah.
All right.
That's all right.
To go to the Beatles, ain't it?
Oh, my
goodness.
So listen, we this has been another episode of Talk Straight. We'll be back Thursday night with another live episode here. And we're looking for success stories. We're looking for success stories. So if you're out there on Facebook, you got one to share with us, get a gentleman to reach out to me about the art, and I hope that he will get with us. We'll bring him on. We want to hear your stories. If you're doing something, you know someone that's doing something, we'd be happy to spotlight them. So be sure to tell them about Talk Straight and happy children. That's what we really need, more positive, proactive stories. We're going to leave with this promo and ask you to join us this coming Thursday, 7 o'clock p.m., for another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Reverend Dockery. Pastor Ricky Wallace, our co-host, and our good friend, 3072, 8112, and 1098 has been with us tonight. And we'll see y'all next Thursday, on Thursday, 7 o'clock p.m.
Hey, they call me Poop. I'm from these streets. Somehow, I live to see my 18th birthday. I managed to graduate from juvenile detention to adult prison. People try to tell me I should grow up and be a man. But I'm the best man I know. Somebody asked where I see myself 10 years. Man, I'm just trying to survive these streets day by day.
BFC Institute needs your help to reach the Pookies across America. Please support our traveling educational lecture series addressing perceived threats to African American males. To To learn more, please visit us at bfcinstitute.com. That is bfcinstitute.com. Simply click the red sticker for details.